Today we want to go to part 5 in our series on essentials that are going to shape your life. And we're going to go to a little bit different of PowerPoint charts today concerning this. But we want to talk today about always verifying the source. Always verifying the source. What we see here in Luke chapter 20 and verses 1 through 8, Luke 20 verses 1 through 8, we see that Jesus has ran the money changers out of the temple. And of course, they didn't appreciate this. The Sadducees, they were basically the money changers. And they didn't appreciate what Jesus had done. And reading here in Luke chapter 20 and verses 1 through 8, it says, "Now it happened on one of those days when he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel that the chief priests and scribes together with the elders confronted him and spoke to him saying, 'Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things, or who gave you this authority?'" And really they want to know why he ran them out of the temple. But it says in verse 3, "But he answered and said to them, 'I will ask you one thing and answer me.'" He said, "The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did we not believe him?' If we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they were persuaded that John was a prophet." So they answered and said, "They do not know where it was from." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." We could talk about the baptism of John this morning. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to talk basically about the fact, is it from heaven or is it from men? From heaven or from men, as we look at this subject of considering the source. There's a lot of things in this life that you see are scams. I guess back when I was a kid, maybe getting a comic book, reading a comic book, you can look at the back of a comic book or look at the back of most magazines, maybe back in the 60s or way before that. Well, one of the things you'd see would be maybe work from home, stuff envelopes, $200 a week. Send $5 and you can make $200 a week stuffing envelopes. And of course, that was a scam. Or maybe one of the famous scams today is that you're staying in a hotel room, and about 2 o'clock in the morning, you'll get a phone call, and it'll say, "Well, this is the front desk, and the computers have crashed, and we need your credit card number again." Well, at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're going to be half asleep. And maybe it's going to be the fact that you'll just get up, go over and give your credit card number. And then, of course, they have you. Our famous scam today is the IRS is going to call you. And they need your Social Security number again. Of course, you give them your Social Security number, then your identity is going to be stolen. Different ways of scams. There's weight loss scams. There's aging scams. I remember Taylor several years ago. She'd been married for 5 years now. But a year or two before she was married, she liked to go out to this place called Ulta. And she would buy different products out there. So one night, I was in the living room. And she said, "Daddy," she said, let me put this stuff on your face." And she started rubbing that on my face. And she said, "Now you sit there for about an hour, and I'll come back and I'll peel that off, and you'll look better." And so I laid there and almost went to sleep and sort of relaxed. But she came back about an hour later and she peeled that off and she looked at me and she said, "Maybe I should have left it on longer." but all sorts of scams. But we need to understand that we need to verify the source. It might be that of Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, that you hear things on that and you think, well, those things must be the truth because there they are on the internet. The Apostle Paul, though, he writes concerning this. He writes concerning this. He says in chapter 1 and in verse 6 of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 6, he says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. And he says, but even if we are an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. You need to verify the source. If I come up after a while preaching to you a different gospel than what I've preached to you, let me be accursed, let him be accursed, whoever it might be. And Proverbs, and in chapter 14 and in verse 12, he says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And it might be even the fact that maybe a teacher is using the Bible. We see Satan here with Jesus as he is tempting Jesus and using Scripture. Never believe a statement as the truth of God unless you can verify that the Bible indeed teaches it. Not that the Bible says it, because what you can do is you can take things that the Bible says and you can twist those things around to the way of your liking. But I put here for a reason that you can verify that the Bible indeed teaches it. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 it says, these are more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. In 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 1, it said, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. He says, be diligent. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And what he would be talking about there is, rightly dividing the word of truth, the Old Testament from the New Testament, no doubt. You would need to rightly divide that. But at the same time you rightly divide the Old Testament from the New Testament, you need to rightly divide what's said in the Old Testament. You need to rightly divide what is said in the New Testament. That you place your soul's well-being into God's hands. Not into somebody else's hands, but into God's hands. He says in 2 Timothy and in chapter 2 and in verses 16 through 18. He says, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. I think he says in verse 17, something that seemed like I bypassed as a young preacher. But in verse 17 he says, their message will spread like cancer. Their message will spread like cancer. Why is it that false teaching just seems to spread all the more faster than the truth? Why is it so difficult to get the truth in people's hearts? Where at the same time, they'll just jump at the chance of false teaching. I'm always amazed at this health and wealth gospel that's gone on now for maybe, I don't know, 40, 45 years, especially on television. And how much people just enjoy buying into that. But still, very few people will desire, very few people will desire to know the truth. I've never seen this before in my life. I've had older preachers that have told me about this before, that they would be studying with people, and as they study with people, especially years ago, when somebody didn't like something, they didn't like Mark 16:16, they just cut it out of their Bible. And maybe there's people today, I don't know if they do that or not, but certainly they cut it out of their hearts, that they don't want that, that they don't want to hear that part of the Word of God. Many people today mishandle the Word of God. Maybe they add to God's words. Over in Proverbs, in chapter 30, and in verse 6. Proverbs 30 and verse 6. It says, "Do not add to his words, or he will reprove you, and you will be proved a liar." Do not add to his words. Revelation chapter 22, the very end of the book, talks about this. Verse 18 and 19, Revelation 22. In verses 18 and 19, "I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add him to the plagues that are written in this book." Verse 19, "If anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God will take his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in the book." How do people add? Well, a lot of times they'll just use one word. Maybe the word "only" or "alone" in John chapter 3 and in verse 16. John 3 verse 16, familiar passage to you. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Now that's in the Bible. Only begotten son. "That whoever..." And then they'll toss in, "whoever only believes." Whoever only believes. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever only believes." It just flows right in there, it seems like. But it's not part of the Word of God. It says that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Or in Romans and in chapter 5, this idea is used again many times by false teachers. It says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith alone." And what you see is, "therefore, having been justified by faith." But they'll add that one little word. "Yeah, having been justified by faith alone, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Or maybe to subtract. I used to have a radio program that I was involved with down in the country, and they'd have people that call in every day. And one day a fella called in and said, I just don't find water baptism in the Bible. I just said, well, let's go over to Acts 8. It says in Acts 8 and in verse 36, and they went along the road and they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And then down in verse 38 it says, and he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down to the water, and Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, it says the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no longer, but he went on his way rejoicing. And I just wondered how many people believe that fella. Just by making just a blanket statement, water baptism is just not in the Bible. But you could just see in one context there that it mentions it three times. Maybe the fact in 2 Peter and in chapter 3 and in verse 16 when Peter talks about the Apostle Paul. He says in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, and in verse 16 it says, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of the things in which some things are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as do also the rest of the scriptures with their own destruction. Or to rearrange God's words. In Matthew and in chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, especially the end of this context. Well, we begin in verse 3. It says, and he answered and said to them, why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God? For the sake of your tradition, God says, honor your father and your mother. And he who speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I would have had to help you has been given to God. He is not to honor his father and his mother. By this you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You can't honor God by disobeying God. He says you honor your father and your mother. Their idea was, well, I gave the money to the temple service, and therefore I don't have to take care of mom or dad anymore. I mean, they didn't have nursing homes at that time. You were to take care of your mother and your father. But they said, what we're doing is we're honoring God by giving this money to the temple. And he's saying, no, you missed the point. You honor your father and your mother. Psalm 119, 160. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endure forever. The totality of information revealed in the Bible is the totality of God's revealed truth. What do you do? Well, you put it all together. If it's something like baptism, You go through Matthew all the way to the end of the New Testament, and you write down the verses concerning baptism to see what you need to do. Do you need to be sprinkled? Do you need to have water poured upon you? Do you need to be immersed? Do you even need to be baptized at all? You go through that step by step and understand what you need to do, whatever the situation is. He says in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And then he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And again, the two Greek words, artios, artizo. One gives you all the parts. One puts all the parts together. That's the idea of this verse. It gives you all the parts, and it puts all the parts together for you as you study the Word of God. So we see there's only two possibilities concerning this. To verify a source, is it from heaven or is it from man? In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, he says, God, who at various times and various ways spoken in the past to the fathers by the prophets, has in this last day spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through him who also made the world. What does he say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. He says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Therefore God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do in word or deed. Whether it's here, I mean, here is easy. But not only here, but whatever you do in word or deed, when you're on the job tomorrow, you do all in the name of the Lord. Whether it's you're playing ball this afternoon or tonight, whatever you do in word or deed, you do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then the last verse for today, Acts 4, verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven. And the idea of name there, you might write out to the side of that, it means authority. That's what you're talking about when you talk about name here in chapter 4. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name or no other authority under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Appreciate your attention today. Pray to the Father that if there's those that are in the audience today that need to respond to the gospel in any way by being baptized into Christ or coming back to your first life, whatever your need might be, I invite you to come. All together we stand, we sing.